Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're ready to do it. It's another episode of the Toy Department. Derek Madden, he's Matt Kolsky. We got a lot to talk about this week, man.
Yeah, it turns out we do.
There's shows and stuff that we watch.
Oh, many shows.
It's weird. I feel like it's just peak TV is just boxing out other stuff now. You know what I mean? Like it's not like that's all I do with my entertainment time, but it does seem like there's so much TV, and that is a lot where the conversation is these days. Am I wrong about that?
You're not wrong, and also, like, brace yourself, because it's about to get more intense. April is crazy for television.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's
Can I give you a short list?
Yeah, hit me.
The Chi, Game of Thrones, Killing Eve, Brockmire. And you're getting into the NBA playoffs.
Right. Plus
all in the month of April.
Plus none of those things are Netflix, right? Like,
nope. And then there's all the Netflix and all the Hulu. Yeah.
They're going to drop stuff that you were not expecting in that mix somewhere as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's challenging times, man, to keep up with it all. But I'm up for it.
Oh yeah. No, I'm here for it. It's just, boy.
You know, only one of us is dropping surprise weddings on the pod.
Let's try to steer away from me inadvertently sharing details of my life.
One week you're gonna be like, yeah, we eloped. It's just gonna be like in the middle of a discussion about Homeland or something.
Honestly, that is exactly what's going to happen.
All right,
it's gonna be the same thing. I'm just gonna say wife one time, and you're gonna be like,
what?
Wife? And I'm gonna be like, oh, whoops.
Thanks for the invite, dude. All right, let's jump into stuff. We are going to talk about the new Ricky Gervais show, Afterlife, later on the program. Catch up with You're the Worst, Working Moms, all kinds of Netflix stuff. But I kind of wanted to start with HBO's The Case Against Adnan Syed. And I want to start with you.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. One, you know, your aversion to bad time TV is I'd say as famous on this pod as my aversion to comic book movies. So so that's something that could potentially come into play here. And but most importantly, you know, you're the fresh eyes and ears on this story. Not listened to Serial at all, right? You didn't know anything about this coming into the show, correct?
If you had simply presented the name Adnan Syed to me before telling me about the show, I'm not sure I would have known who it was.
Yeah,
I would have been like, wait, that rings a bell. That's how little I knew. So here's the thing. Let's start with the bad time TV thing, because one of the interesting things about this show is it's actually quite watchable.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a bad time until the cop shows up, which sounds about right, honestly. And this is just one episode, and, you know, all I know about this story, as I've said coming in, is that it's a podcast and there's some controversy, which has my cop misbehavior hackles up, and it just makes me so mad. It just makes me so effing mad. I have no idea whether this kid did it. I don't know any of the details, because the way they laid out this first episode, they don't give you any of the details. I mean, I know he's in jail, but not, there hasn't been a shred of evidence presented against him to this point, not a shred. And literally the first moment the policeman appears on the screen, he lies straight to the camera. Just a bald-faced lie right to the camera. Hi, I'm the cop who investigated this, and no, we didn't have any suspects at the beginning. And then they show the initial police report, and the only suspect is Adnan Syed.
Yeah, that's not great.
And it's just from then on out, I want to throw things at the TV. It's asinine assumptions by amateur assholes. It's a circus of idiocy, and more than idiocy, of violation of the rights of a child. And at one point, the cop literally said, he's talking about the creepy older boyfriend, Don. And he says, like, don't think he didn't not go investigate it. And it's like, dude, you just double negatived yourself into another lie.
Yeah. Because I, first of all, I kind of think he didn't really get investigated. That's kind of
no.
What I think.
It's just like, it's. And so, look, I don't know how I have an idea of what's about to happen, and I'm already angry. And I just feel like there's. I wish I was more famous, so then I could have a whole podcast just about police and prosecutorial misconduct.
Yeah.
Because I think it's truly the biggest problem in our country.
Well, look, I do feel like. The idea, you know, obviously, because I think a lot of the exploration of this has been fictional, but I think the idea that the Baltimore Police Department is somewhat dysfunctional is that, let's just say it's out there in pop culture.
Oh, it's out there.
You know what I mean? So, so I don't know if we, how much we need to explore that per se. And I feel like we can say, because I think this is, I mean, I don't know, maybe this is wrecking things for you. So Kolsky spoiler sort of, you know, but Serial the podcast famously does not really answer the, you know, does not really come down one way or the other on
sure
whether
they
he did it or
facts
not.
And as they see them.
And honestly, I think one of the things that's been an interesting experience about the podcast itself is that you will find yourself probably on both sides of it. A couple different times, you know what I mean? Like, you think he did
yeah,
it, you think
again,
he didn't do it, you know? So
I don't know if he, I don't know if he did it, and I hate to put it this way, especially because I'm very cognizant that a young woman died. She was my age, and that's, I've lived half a life since then.
Yeah.
So it's not that that didn't hit home.
That part is really jarring for me as someone who is, you know, as a podcast listener and sort of experienced this telling a little bit more kind of closer to the time of the events, you know what I mean? And you're not seeing people, like, to see all these principal witnesses, like, in their mid-30s, you know?
Yeah.
Because in your mind's eye, they're teenagers when you're
you right.
know, talking about Agent McClain or whatever. You know, so to see them then as, like, you know, 35-year-olds, it is really jarring.
So my point is I understand as best I can, and I lost people in high school. I understand what it means for someone of that age to be cut down. And yet I strongly believe that I can already tell you without knowing any of the facts. And like I said, I know there's controversy. So I imagine there's some evidence against him, something that indicates that he would at least be involved besides asinine police assumption. But I can tell you without seeing that evidence, it doesn't matter because this investigation was rotten from the start.
Yep.
And it's just so much more important that we don't have rotten investigations.
Was it rotten or incompetent, though?
It doesn't matter.
You know what I mean?
Does it matter?
Like,
it doesn't matter to me.
I
it doesn't matter to me. If you're
it does matter
fine.
To me.
Okay.
To me, personally.
It's the difference between whether that cop should be in jail or fired. Okay? So on that side, it matters. On the other side, it doesn't matter. The effect is the same.
Yeah.
And if you – incompetent detectives are just as damaging as dirty detectives. They really are. And the fact that the incompetence of teachers and police in this country is unacceptable.
Yeah, well
– it just is. And I'm sorry to all the great teachers and police. I know some of both.
Semi-spoiler here. We're gonna have to throw lawyers into the – fire at
yeah.
some point. Some
no,
point
that's
in,
true. I don't.
In
and
this
I shouldn't,
particular
I shouldn't
story.
Pick on police. Authorities. It's authority. So, when authority is either incompetent or corrupt, things are really bad.
Yeah.
And authority is widely incompetent and widely corrupt, and often both in America.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem.
I mean, look. I think that I personally would read this as more of a I do think that the Baltimore police wanted justice for Heyman Lee. You know what I mean? I don't think they were coming at this with corrupt intent.
Maybe not, but letting your desire to close a case cloud appropriate conduct is
correct.
Just as bad.
And I do think the defense of it is much more about covering asses than necessarily getting at the truth.
Yes. So, and that's what it always comes down to. Even if it starts with incompetence, whether you're talking about Stephen Avery's case or Adnan Syed's case or one of the thousands that probably go similarly that we never ever hear about, it doesn't matter if it starts with incompetence. It almost always ends with people being corrupt, even if it's just to cover up incompetence.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm angry and annoyed, and I'm probably going to watch the rest of it because I kind of got to know what happens.
It's quite a story, and I did want to mention one thing I really enjoyed about this first episode that you don't – I shouldn't say don't get, at least that I – you know, that the impressions that I have from, you know, remembering Serial, you know, and it's like I went back and listened to each of the episodes. But I found this particular episode really humanized Hay in a way that I didn't really get from the podcast. You know?
I thought – the most incredible thing about it was if you didn't know what was coming, there was almost a darling love story between
them.
Yeah. And that was, I thought, really well positioned to contrast with what you know. Because they have an interesting job making a documentary where a huge portion of the audience knows the outcome.
Yeah.
Right? And I think you do that by filling in character, and I thought that was phenomenally done.
Yeah, I thought they did a lot of that really well, and it's a tricky thing when you're, you know, reenacting a dead teenager's diary. You know what I mean? To like,
oh, yeah.
to pull that off in a way that feels emotionally true. So
and not only reenacting her diary, but reading her words of love about people who may have killed her.
Yeah.
It's a daunting task, and I think they did a really great job. The way they animated it, I just thought the voiceover, it was really, really well done.
Yeah. Maybe it definitely, that part made me sad for sure, because she seemed like a really sweet kid. It's just sad. But I am I'm glad that you are I'm kind of glad that you're interested. I thought that you might enjoy the story, even if it ultimately made you angry.
I'm happy
to watch more. I can't tell. I think there are two more episodes, but it's possible there's three.
Coming up
for this show. So that's interesting. And that was another thing I didn't know going in either.
My fiance will want to watch it anyway, so I'm sure we will.
Now, did she listen to Serial, or is she new to this as well?
New to knowing that we're engaged, or to the podcast?
to the story.
She did listen to some of it, at least. I don't know if she listened to all – because there was a second season, right?
There was a second season, but it's a whole new case. So season one is –
I think she did story. Then. She definitely knew the story.
Okay. There's actually a third season of Serial as well. But
oh, wow. Who knew?
Yeah, there you go. That podcast needs any more plugs.
Folks, if you haven't heard of the Serial podcast, let us, the toy department.
That's right.
to all of you many, many people listening, go give this cute little thing called Serial a taste.
Yeah,
you know,
check
I mean?
It out. They could use some reviews on iTunes there.
Yeah. they owe us one now.
That's right. That's right. Now, Sarah Cady, you have to come on our podcast now.
Yep. That's how that works.
All right. Let's talk about maybe a less controversial documentary, but one I also enjoyed. Losers on Netflix.
How many did you get through?
Well, so I messed this up because I started watching and then I fell asleep. And
oh,
so,
I think we did this exactly the same way.
So did you wind up watching one that was like later on than I thought it was the second episode, but it turned out it was like the fifth?
I don't think I did because I think I caught myself. But
oh, gotcha.
I fell asleep during the first one, really at the end of it, because I saw the whole first one. And then woke up in the middle of curling, and I was like, what is happening? How did we go from boxing to curling? And then I had to sort of reset myself. And but I did end up watching the first three.
Gotcha.
So which was the sort of odd one you watched?
So I went from one, and then I guess I fell asleep before the end of the one before curling because it went straight to curling, which I thought was okay. The second one for a while until someone told me different. And then I went back and watched the Torquay United.
Oh, I'm glad. Okay.
So,
so you did not watch Judgment.
What did he say?
You did not watch Judgment?
I did not watch Judgment, no.
Okay. So we both watched the first two. And the first thing I would say, and I assume they're all like this. I thought they'd be about more famous people.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I thought that personally.
So I was kind of delighted to learn that I'd be getting totally stories I didn't know anything about. I never heard. I think maybe I had heard of Michael Bent years ago, but not really. I certainly never heard of Torquay, and I barely remember Saria Bonelli. And that one was really excellent. But these are, I think, just wonderful little short docs about really interesting people and their stories of triumph and like human perseverance.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this is like kind of why we like sports, right?
Right. Yes. And it's such, I think in many ways, it's sort of genius to make a documentary called Losers about why we love sports.
Yeah,
right. Because we think so much about winning, and like, really, the Olympics come around every 2 years now, and a ton of people go bonkers over sports they don't care about and athletes they'll never think about again, and it's because of this stuff.
Yeah, well, and it's, right. I mean, every Olympics, you know, Olympics, and I think in particular, honestly, right? It's like these guys train for 4 years for this thing. And, you know, there's one winner and, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of losers that are produced out of every bit of this. And we tend to focus on just the one side as if it's half the story, when in reality it's really a tiny portion of what that sports experience is like for so many.
Yeah. And lovable losers is, you know, like a well-worn sports phrase. But again, these are more than that. These are triumphant losers, almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And boy, the Torquay the whole story is so funny and goofy, and yet also hits all these like heart spots, right? Like, it's just I don't know, they're short, they're really good stories about human triumph, and I'm digging it.
Yep. You know, look, there's also something just so fundamentally cute about, like, small-town English soccer.
Oh, my
you
God.
Know what I mean?
It's so funny. They reference the pub so damn much. I love those little guys.
It's really great, you know.
And seeing the old, like, beat-up stands and crap uniforms and just the whole story is so – I don't want to spoil it because – it's such a ridiculous story. And if for those who have seen it, I don't think this will spoil it for those who haven't, but the pride of the policeman in the whole thing is just the funniest thing in the world to me.
Yeah. You know, folks, the English people are also great too, right?
Oh, gosh. Like they're so fun. The way they talk, the striker, the with the thick, I think, Irish accent.
Yeah.
He was awesome. There's just, it's really good. And then Judgment about Saria Bonaly is a much less lighthearted, but incredibly poignant and moving story. And well told, and she's an incredible athlete and sports figure who I knew almost nothing about.
Oh yeah, see that one I haven't watched yet. So
yeah, no, I'm just recommending it.
All right,
and I look, as much as goofy as we all go for curling every 4 years, like, I'm excited about that one coming up next.
Oh, the curling one, yeah, curling one's good. Got some twists and turns for sure. Yeah, this is a very enjoyable one. I'm definitely going to finish the rest of these
yes,
at some point. And, you know, I'm going to give you a recommendation. I know you have a million things. But there's a Netflix doc about Sunderland, which I want to I think may just be called Sunderland. Okay. But it's sort of the modern day
long form.
Yeah, equivalent of, you know, it's of that kind of story about a team like struggling to stay in the Premier League in a town where, you know, Sunderland is not a major city in England, right? Like the football club means a lot to them.
But
in this case, they're competing at, you know, Manchester United and all of that. So,
yeah, I was listening to a JJ Redick podcast with Ben Winston, who's just a friend of his, but also the producer of James Corden, and very British, and talking about the differences between the sports and relegation and whatnot, and JJ just making the point that, like, you know, there's however many damn ridiculous soccer teams in a country the size of New Jersey.
Yeah, every town has one. You know what
right.
I mean? It's sometimes
like,
have
it's
more
hard to compare to basketball. And, you know, Ben Winston saying, well, look, man, every game in soccer matters, you know? And JJ's like, well, yeah, but, you know, Trenton, New Jersey doesn't have a basketball team in the NBA, so it's a little different.
Right. Well, but that's it. But the cool thing about that is, like, you know, the equivalent.
Every now
like,
and then, Trenton beats New York. That's
right.
What's cool.
And Trenton could conceivably be in the NBA if they just win enough games.
Yeah.
You know what I
right.
mean?
No, I get it.
Which
I
is
get
not
it.
A possibility that exists here, right? Like, just not having relegation here it completely changes the outlook of sport, I think, entirely. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's funny. This is a different conversation for a different show, but I think a huge part of that is just our isolationism in terms of sport. Like, part of relegation is staffing.
Yeah.
You know,
I think too, it's a lot of the economic setup, right? Like, you know, right. The you know, the Knicks are possibly going to be sold for $4 billion or more, right? You know,
yeah,
if that happens.
Look at baseball.
But you couldn't pay that kind of money if there was a possibility that the Knicks just wouldn't be in the NBA anymore, right?
Right,
which would be a real possibility in their case, right? If relegation was a thing.
But Man U would sell for just as much.
Yeah. I mean, that's also
and
part
so
of
to me, it's
that's also goes to the economic structure, though, because in soccer, you can just – there's no – you can spend your way to success. You know what I mean? Just not an option
right,
in the NBA.
More, it's more like baseball. But that's kind of my point. Even baseball, which you have the infrastructure to do something like relegation – they're never going to do it. We view those things so differently. It's
yeah.
I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, baseball would be the closest to be able to pull it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, the primary difference between baseball and soccer is that in soccer you actually like the trades are made with money too. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, you just buy everything.
Yes,
everything's
bought. So it's really the money thing really becomes a big deal. And then the difference is in what league you're in or whether you make the Champions League also becomes a big deal because there's so much money at stake.
Fundamentally, the biggest deal is who's your owner.
Yeah, the Sunderland doc is called Sunderland Till I Die, by the way.
Okay.
That's the name of it. All right, so yeah, so we're up. We're two thumbs up on Losers for sure.
Definitely.
Which I guess, since we're talking about folksy English people, is probably a good segue into the Ricky Gervais show, Afterlife.
Yeah. What's your general position on Ricky Gervais?
Much higher than you.
Yeah.
Enjoy the original Office quite a bit. Liked Extras a lot.
I did like Extras.
Am occasionally annoyed by his public persona.
Huh?
Less than the work that he's done.
I think I agree with that. I don't love The Office, either version, but I did love Extras. And he's funny, certainly. I just think he's mean. I think he's mean too much, and too mean in ways that are not necessarily funny. I'm all for funny mean. Mean funny. I don't think he's always funny.
Yeah, see, I find him generally to be funny mean. Look, some of the movies that he's made have been an exception to that.
I think I'm thinking more of his public persona. Yeah. But
I feel like this was an ideal role for him in which he could be really funny mean. Emphasis on the mean, honestly.
Yes, it's much meaner than it is funny, especially the first episode. Like, there were not a lot of laughs. He's mostly just being a dick.
Yeah.
And you're just like, ugh.
But the reasons for his dickishness are sort of well outlined.
Yes.
And you know, there's almost a permission structure there. In fact, it seems like some of the characters sort of give him a permission structure to be a dick. You know,
that's exactly right.
People put up with it to varying degrees, basically.
And it's very clearly a show about personal growth, and so he's sort of starting from the bottom, right?
Right.
And I have to say, the first episode kind of fed into my Ricky Gervais bias, if you will.
I kind of thought you were going to hate this.
And I wasn't watching it. I wasn't feeling great, but I stuck with it and I got through three. And I have to say that already in a couple more episodes, like, he's considerably more charming and it's funnier, right? It was almost like they gave you an episode of his naked, unfunny grief. And then they were like, but life goes on and life is funny.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, right? Episode two opens with him in the bathtub with a razor blade. But
yeah, but it's a bathtub with a razor blade where you never think he's going to kill himself. And you kind of know what's going to happen, which is the dog saunters up and wants to eat.
It would be a very weird show if he had killed himself at the beginning of the second episode.
And he's already talked about this shtick, which is I get ready to kill myself and then the dog has to eat, so oh well, yeah. I'll kill myself later.
Right.
And so you kind of feel that, or at least I sort of felt that coming, because they had just talked about it, really. And even that is a little charming. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Holding the razor blade, and then you look at the face of the dog, and you're like, ah, oh, well, I can't very well let the dog go hungry. I'll put my suicide plans on hold.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little funny. And I think that's sort of, that's the pace, is it started as this dark, unfunny thing. And he's, starting to be a human again. This is a story about him starting to be a human again, right?
Yes, I would say that's exactly what this is. And, you know, as you progress along that journey, and every time there's just a little bit of heart infused into the show, I find it utterly charming, you know.
Exactly.
And it seems like they're just gradually sort of hitting that pump a little bit harder, you know,
I think
each episode.
That's why you start with such a joyless, charmless sort of pilot, which in its own way is kind of a brave thing to do. And I think it worked, even though I was a little – I could imagine someone turning it off after the pilot for that reason. I think it's pretty well done.
Yeah, me too. I think this is probably my favorite of the things that we watched this week. And I wasn't necessarily expecting that going in.
No. I mean, I really liked Losers, but it's so different. I agree. It caught me by surprise.
Yeah, that makes me happy. It catching you by surprise caught me by surprise. So, Hooray.
just a regular bundle of surprises.
I know, man. And like little joys. all right, so where are you at on Working Moms?
Where am I at on Working Moms? I don't know how to say it. I don't love that lady. I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't know what it is. Something about her demeanor. I just don't really buy her.
I'm assuming that's Catherine Reitman you're speaking of.
I'm also assuming that's who it is because her name's all over it and she is the lead actress.
Yeah.
And I think she created it and it's funny and I get it. And man, go moms. But I just don't know that I can watch her that much. I'm just not a fan. I don't know what to say.
I don't know. I think
the redhead mom is hilarious.
There's something about it, you're right, that is like that doesn't totally captivate you because I feel like it's this show works on paper, like it's smart.
Funny.
You know what I mean? And it's bold and it has some things to say, and there are moments that are pretty funny, you know? And yet I don't find myself in love with it.
No. And for me, it really is just I don't like the lead. She's on the screen almost all the time, and I don't believe her. And I feel bad because she's obviously very smart and funny, and she wrote and created this smart, funny, like feminist show.
Yeah.
And I'm totally in support of it, except I don't think I want to watch her.
Right, and she comes from this line of creative people, and I've generally enjoyed all their work. You know,
and it's not like she's unattractive, right? I'm not saying like, oh, I can't look at her. She's perfectly attractive. I just don't think I like her acting.
Maybe that's
which
what
I feel
it is.
A little bad, but like I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It's weird that we have landed in the same place on this, where it like it just doesn't totally add up to the sum of its parts for me.
Yeah, we were talking, I think, off pod about how I've never really given it a try, but you've tried to watch High Maintenance, which is something that seems like it would appeal to both of us, but just like never connected for you. And that's kind of how I felt about this. All the pieces are in place, except the main acting piece, and it takes me out of it.
Yeah, and I don't know that I want to say like I just don't buy her. But I do agree with you that something doesn't add up to me, and I can't totally put my finger on what it is, you know. And look, PTV, man, that's like the bar is so high,
right?
You know, it's like
I mean, this is the problem. If this show is in 2008, we're like, whoa, how cool is this? I may not love the main actress, but what a great show!
Yeah.
And today, it's like you don't make the cut. Because in April, I've got a list of shows that is frankly intimidating.
Right.
So, yeah, tough spot, basically, I guess. Tough beat, Working Moms.
Well, and it's, I will say for what it's worth, I didn't realize this. There are already two seasons of this in existence and a third season that is currently airing now on Canadian television. So,
oh, good.
It must have connected with someone.
Good, because I'm glad. I feel like it should exist. It's just I don't think I need to participate.
Right, you don't think you need to be involved. I feel like this is, you know, we talk about homework. I feel like someone in the audience who really enjoyed this show needs to keep watching and just let us know if we need to like come back to it at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not like, I wouldn't even tell someone not to watch this. I would almost tell them to watch it. I don't know that I'll be there with them.
Do you think maybe it's because we're dudes and you know, the patriarchy and all that?
It's possible, but I will say again, like, for me, I can definitely identify that it is her.
Right.
Like, and I, again, I, like, I feel bad because I don't know exactly what it is about her, but, like, I'm taken out of the narrative when she's acting, for whatever reason. So, like, it's almost like reading a script and being like, oh, this is a good script. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, I get it. So you liked all the other supporting characters?
I really liked the redhead. I thought the sort of dour lesbian was really funny. Yeah, I enjoyed all the other stuff much more. Absolutely.
Yeah. I am curious now, knowing that they've made so many of these, like to wonder where the show evolves to, and whether it becomes more of an ensemble piece or.
Well, and just it could sort of lean into comedy or drama, I think, as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, like I said, someone needs to watch it. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know how that goes.
All right, let's move on to Hear the Worst.
Yeah.
We were kind of talking off pod. I've really been enjoying this season. The opportunity for a show to sort of know, like, okay, we're going to the finish line is a fairly rare opportunity. And I think some shows really make the most of that, and some shows really sort of stumble under the weight. And this season of You're the Worst definitely seems to me to be in the former category. Like, it seems really comfortable with both the evolution and lack of evolution in the characters in the story over the course of it, and is now just sort of ready to pay off a bunch of bets that the show made three and four seasons ago in some ways. You know what I mean?
I hope you're right. Okay. The most recent episode of You're the Worst was a particularly great episode. Paul F. Tompkins was brilliant. The whole conceit of it was hilarious. Right. And it had all the things we've come to enjoy.
That's a conceit sort of right born out of, you know, it starts with, you know, Sunday Funday. You know what I mean?
It's an insider's You're the Worst, and it was really well done.
Yeah. You know, something they built up over a long time.
Yes. Which does make me feel good about the last few, because we're getting to the last few. But I have to say, the thing that I most thought after watching these two, these last two episodes, which I had fallen a week behind, was, do you know what episode numbers these were of the season?
Off the top of my head, no, but let's see.
No, I have it. I have it here.
Oh, you do.
I believe it was 8 and 9.
Okay. So there's four more left, right?
It might have been 7 and 8.
There's 13 total in this season, so.
Oh, are there 13?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There it is. So, yeah, it was episode 9.
Yeah. Yeah, there are four more left.
Does it feel to you like there have been 9 episodes of You're the Worst this season?
I would have guessed maybe 7. Not in a huge way to me. You know what I mean?
It feels more like 4 to me. When I realized it was episode 9, I was like, wait, did I miss some? And then I went back and I didn't miss any. I think the word comfortable is exactly the word I would have used. It feels very comfortable. And there have not been I don't know if there's been a bad episode in the whole series. But maybe I just had too high expectations. I expected maybe a little more. It feels very comfortable and lived in and well done and unexceptional by its own standards.
Interesting. Like, didn't you feel like...
Until this last episode, I should say.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, there was a moment, you know, in this episode where they're on the bus... And there's a moment where you sort of see a window into sort of Gretchen's depression and what pill regimen she's on and all this stuff. You know what I mean? And then you realize, like, this relationship really still is very, like, fragile. You know what I mean? And you're wondering if it may even go off the rails right then and there, and it doesn't, you know? So, spoiler alert, I should say. And, you know, to me, like, that is a... Like, that, those are very real and sort of huge stakes for this show that it's kind of willing to play with, you know, over the course of these episodes, you know?
Yeah. Yes, but what about episodes 1 through 8?
All right, well, look, so you have, you know, episode 8 is sort of a, you know, is a bottle episode, really, right? I mean,
it feels
like a bottle episode, and then it sort of is referenced to great effect in episode 9. But and I'm okay with that, because I think you do, at some point, the show is going to need to address Becca and Vernon and Paul, right? Like, they've been enough of the show that you couldn't do a last season without at least sort of, you know, capping an arc for them, right? I would say that the episode where they make couple friends, and I don't know if that was episode 7.
It was.
Yeah. Like, I thought that one was really great and an interesting exploration that also felt very true to them. You know what I mean? I liked the no sex week episode, or the all sex week, whatever you call it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I thought that was a good one.
Yeah, again, there are no bad episodes. I don't know. It's good. It's a great show, and it's been a good season. Instead of feeling like the epic conclusion of You're the Worst, it feels like more You're the Worst to me. And maybe I'm just being overly demanding.
Yeah. I have a feeling you're going to get an epic conclusion by the end of this.
I think you're right.
You know.
It's picking up steam.
Yeah. You know, like I said, there are still 4 episodes left to tell, you know, to move pieces around the board and tell stories.
That's good, because I was worried there was only 1 or 2.
Yeah. So, you know, so we'll see how it goes. I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, obviously, we're all the way in and picking up steam for the conclusion.
And it's like, look, you know, any other show about that's ostensibly about a couple like this, you know what I mean? Like, there's zero doubt in your mind that they're getting married, right? In this show, there's 10% doubt, right? That one of them does something horrible to the other one at the, you know, right before, right?
Right? I mean,
maybe higher.
They essentially have a flash forward that makes it look like they're not together.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows where it's headed? But that is exciting to me.
Right. I like that. I feel like there are very few shows in this situation that could give you that sort of vibe.
In this space, especially in this, like, romantic comedy, essentially, space, to have no idea of the end point is an exciting thing.
Yeah. And this is, you know, another great thing about FX is, like, this show's drawing like 150,000 viewers a week. Which I think is pretty par for the course for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so for it to have the opportunity to have 5 seasons of it and go out on its own terms.
And never seem to, like, compromise in any way, really.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're fortunate.
Nah, credit to FX and Stephen Falk for a great job.
Yeah. And you know, and I think the cast as well, you know, like,
no doubt. No doubt.
There's been a lot of fearless performing on the show in lots of different directions, in both the comedic and dramatic directions, I think.
For sure.
You know, the season. And really, like, even the broadest and goofiest characters on the show have had some really dark, dramatic arcs at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So definitely.
Yeah. So I'm all in. I'm excited for these last 4. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I'm excited, but I'm also, you know, trying to parcel them out. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Saying goodbye to our old friends.
Yeah. You know? Because despite the fact that we talk about how much television is out there, I don't feel like there's a million more things that we love. There's just a million more things we have to see, you know?
Yeah. And there's stuff that we think is great, and then there's stuff that's, like, really our stuff, right?
Yes.
And this is our stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of our stuff, we talked about this in the pre-show meeting, and I know you were not fully caught up with Crashing, but
yeah,
We, you know, I think I feel like we need to have a pour the bottle out discussion for Crashing at some point.
Let's do it next week because I do want to watch the.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, and I think a lot of people did not know, Pete Holmes tweeted last week that they didn't get picked up for a fourth season, so the episode that that aired on Sunday was the last one. So
I'd love to hear. Like, I wonder how that decision gets made.
Yeah, well, you know, there's also new people in charge over there at HBO.
There's what?
There's new people in charge over there at HBO. So.
Oh, well, I wasn't thinking about that, but I was going to say, if you watched Adnan Syed like I did, which is to say with the HBO What's to Come preview right beforehand.
Oh, I thought you were going to say with like one hand over your eye and like, you know, looking through your fingers.
No. Man, there's a lot coming. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Are you a Deadwood guy?
I am not a Deadwood guy. And yeah. I feel like that's not me saying, because, you know, sometimes I'll definitely definitively come down on the side of I am not a guy for the, you know, for this thing. This one to me is just more like it's a gap in my in my TV watching.
I really think it's one of the best. And if I were you, and also in my desirous heart for purposes of this podcast, if you feel like watching the, what, 2.5-3 seasons of Deadwood so we can do the movie, I would be very down, because I just think it's tremendous. It is probably the best of Ian McShane and Timothy Oliphant, two guys who I think we both like very much.
Yes. When
as great as Justified is, I think Deadwood is just such a better show.
Here's the thing, right? Obviously, like, I have no, I don't doubt that. I'm not here to challenge.
I mean,
that.
I know it's in your, it's like in a territory you don't love.
Yeah. Yeah. That's you know, that's always been the part of, like, I don't know that I want to go back to, you know, old timey South Dakota or whatever.
But, like, we watched Godless, and as I recall, you didn't love it, but you at least.
I did not love it, no.
But you at least like recognized some of the good things about it. And I just think Deadwood is a much better show again.
Yeah.
Like, Deadwood for me is in the class of The Sopranos.
Yeah, no, I know. And I know Sepinwall has it on the Mount Rushmore. In fact, he said it was better than Game of Thrones on Bill Simmons this week. So,
yeah, I heard that. And I'll tell you what, man, I'm not sure he's really wrong.
Yeah, all right.
Like, Game of Thrones has it's like a pound for pound, I think Deadwood's a better show. If that makes sense.
It, you know, it's interesting, as I'm sitting here in my head going, God, it's hard for me to imagine this is engrossing as Game of Thrones. But I have the same issue with Game of Thrones, right? I didn't watch Game of Thrones till middle of the second season or so. I decided to jump in because I didn't want to be in the forest. So,
yes, and Deadwood, I think, is this is crazy to say. I think the characters are better and better developed on Dead. Like, it's a more of a character study and it's a smaller story, right? Which is what I mean by the pound for pound thing. But it's almost perfect for what it is.
All right. When does that movie come out?
Sometime this year. Sometimes. It was just a preview that was like, all the stuff this year, and there's like 35 limited series, and Game of Thrones is back, and, you know, the Barry is back, and et cetera, et
cetera. Yeah, I saw that. I'm just trying to figure out how much time I'd have to watch all the Deadwoods.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. It probably doesn't take too much time once you get rolling, because there's not that many episodes.
Yeah. Looking at Pete Holmes' Twitter, by the way, he says that he's hoping that they may be able to do a movie at some point.
It says spring 2019. Spring. That means
I gotta get working. Spring 2019 technically starts in like a week.
Yeah, but
not in Minnesota, mind you. But
that announcement was made in February, and it has no date on it. So you probably got till May. Right. I would guess. Inside.
All right. Let's go ahead and assign some homework for this week. Should we do that?
Yeah. Well, you're watching Deadwood.
So I really gotta get started, because we are not short on homework assignments.
No. Speaking of which, we don't need to add this to this week's homework, but I just want to put it on your radar because it's been recommended to me a couple times. Are you aware of a show called Schitt's Creek?
I am. I feel like we actually talked about maybe watching this on this pod because I've had a few people recommend it to me. It is on my Netflix watch list, and I just haven't dived in yet.
All right. Well, let's earmark that for a slower week because I think I would like to check it out.
Yeah. I'm here for that. You know, whatever it is we figure out doing next, because this is not going to be a slower week. We've got the Ben Affleck Netflix coming to theaters. So ostensibly, so we can get a work consideration. That can't be the plan for Netflix on this one.
No, I mean, I think if it's maybe for like sound mixing, it's in the running. But it's a Ben Affleck. It's a well cast. I don't know if it's well cast. It's a star-studded cast.
Yeah, you got Oscar Isaac, Charlie Hunnam, and then some other people. Stuff. Some other people are getting billing that I've never heard of, but they're getting billing, so I'm sure they're great. It's like this looks like Ben Affleck's like, all right, I'm going to make my Mark Wahlberg movie. Is what this looks like to me.
Definitely.
And whatever, I'll check that out.
Pete Berg. It looks. If I showed you the poster and said it was a Pete Berg directed Mark Wahlberg vehicle, you would not argue with me.
100%. Yeah, if you just photoshopped Affleck out and put Wahlberg in, you'd be like, yeah, this is in theaters next week, right?
And yes, and I often enjoy those silly movies.
Yeah. Do you think we'll see Ben Affleck's back tattoo in this one?
Fingers crossed. Hey, by the way, the only guy I guess there's two guys I see on the poster in addition to the dudes you mentioned, and I can't believe you don't know who they are.
Really?
Garrett Hedlund and Pedro Pascal?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you might not know their names.
I don't know their names, no. But I'm looking at their faces right now. Now they're tiny faces. It's not
you
a big
definitely
ad.
Definitely know Pedro Pascal.
He's the guy with the mustache, right?
Yes. He was in Star Wars. He's a that guy.
Okay. Who was he in Star Wars?
I don't know the names of the.
Was he like? But he was like random X-wing pilot, right? Like it wasn't like he was like a big dude in Star Wars.
I swear to, wasn't he in Star Wars?
I don't know. Well, we're about to. Oh
no, 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 no! He wasn't in Star Wars. You know what he was in though was Kingsman. He's the guy with the whip in Kingsman.
Not sure I watched Kingsman.
He was also in If Beale Street Could Talk.
I did watch that. Who was he in Beale Street?
The character's Pietro Alvarez, but again, like I don't think it's complicated. He's the Latino guy with the mustache. He was also Oberyn in Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. See, if you said Oberyn in Game of Thrones, that now there's a mental image. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, I had to look it up, but I was like, I know you know that guy. Oh, he's in the new Star Wars. That's why Star Wars popped up.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, Garrett Hedlund. I'm looking at his credits right now. I mean, I saw Mudbound, but that's not
coming
to mind.
You've seen Garrett Hedlund, but Pedro Pascal, you definitely recognize.
All right. Well,
trust me, when you see him, he's a Latino that guy.
Yeah. Look, Oberyn from Game of Thrones. I got.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was he in Narcos at some point? It seems like he'd be in Narcos.
No comment.
What? I didn't mean it. It just does. You know, Latin guy with the mustache.
Yes, I suppose it does. The mustache would fit right in.
Yeah. Man. Fine. Shut up now. We got more stuff to watch. Top Chef is coming to the finale. We're all watching that anyway. But yeah.
Man.
Excited to talk about that.
I thought Eric was going down last week.
He definitely could have. Definitely could have. Look, it's anybody's game right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
I would say Kelsey is cooking the best of everyone, but, you know, Sarah's obviously shown that she can jump up, and then Eric's been the most talented chef this year. So it's like.
Did you understand the only two people are cooking thing?
No.
Wasn't that weird? Because then they show all three of them cooking, but I guess only two of them get to serve the judges somehow?
Yeah, they're probably just eliminating one. Maybe in a, maybe there's a quick fire. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, but no, but they said last quick fire on this episode. They got me. They got me again. Those damn reality show producers teased me again. I don't know how they do it.
they're pros at it, for sure.
They left me wondering, what? How's this going to work? And even though I know, I probably know exactly how it's going to work, somehow I'm confused.
Yeah. It'll work. Yeah, so I'm very excited for that. That's an easy one. Also very excited for the return of Catastrophe, which is the Sharon Horgan, Rob Delaney show that we've talked about a couple of times.
Yep.
I think it's one of the more underrated comedies in the streaming universe. And I think this is the final season of that.
What are we, season four?
Season four, yeah. And, you know, it's British, so when we say seasons, it's like six episodes.
That's so. One of the best parts about a lot of the things we've watched lately is you can bang them right out.
Yeah. And then Billions returns. I'm interested in this. I think, you know, we're set up for the first season that's sort of off of the axis of
Axe versus Chuck.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's Suicide Squad Billions.
yes. So yeah, I'm very curious to see where the show goes. I'm here for that.
Look, one of the coolest things about Billions as it's gone on, and what I think got us into it, was how malleable it is with what it's about. And I'm excited to see this next sort of twist.
Yeah. All right. So that's that. Anything else? I think that covers homework for the week, right?
That's a decent list of four things in my mind.
Yeah, it's four big-time quality things, and then apparently I got to start watching some Deadwood.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, why don't you at least try to get one or two episodes of Deadwood and see how off-put you are by the dusty country setting.
You know, I mean, there's conference tournaments this week.
Listen, man, you got to sacrifice for your art.
NCAA starts Thursday.
Who cares?
I care. It's March Madness. Come on.
Here's my check me out. Ready? I'm out.
First year ever.
I'm out. Not doing a bracket. Why bother? Who cares?
I don't care.
Don't want to watch it. Bad basketball. Not worth my time.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
Not throwing away my $20 on two brackets. No, sir.
All right, you hang on to your $20. I will, you know what? I think...
just wasted $20 yesterday buying into one of these dumb office lotto pools, because once the office lotto pool starts, you have to buy in.
Right. You know, I'd be willing to sponsor your bracket just to make you watch.
Nope.
You don't want to see what Zion's going to do in these tournament settings.
Yes. I'll watch Zion.
Yeah. And there are plenty other watchable teams. Watch out for Carolina, man. They're coming on right now.
I'll watch Jay Morant too, because he might be a bull in a few months.
Not 100% sure he's in the tournament though.
No, I think he got in.
Didn't Murray State lose their conference tournament?
No.
Okay, good.
They won.
All right. Well, that's good, because I also wanted to see him. So I'm excited about the tournament. There's plenty of other stuff coming too.
Yeah, I think he had a big game too to get him in.
That's good, because he's real good.
Yeah.
All right.
36.7 rebounds, 3 assists to win the conference tournament and get into the big dance. There's
another good team in that conference, if I'm not mistaken, right? It's
they beat Belmont, who's in the tournament pretty regularly.
Yeah, and I think that there's some talk Belmont will get in as an at-large. So, so good for them. Go Murray State. Favorite team of Sarah, by the way. Even though she was all talking about UK, she's big into Murray State. She knew all about Morant. Yeah,
they're in Kentucky too.
Murray State is in Kentucky. Yes.
Well, yeah, there you go.
I think it's close to Paducah where she lives.
Makes sense.
All right. So I think we've explored the Top Chef of the NCAA tournament. There goes your NCAA tournament preview, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you want to do a 5-minute preview next week, I got no problem with it. Oh, also, we said we'd watch The Shop this week. And
I didn't do it.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think you need to. I think you will. I don't think we have anything to add, truly. It's the same thing. It's a pretty interesting conversation between pretty interesting famous athletes and entertainers. And yes, it's produced and yes, it's edited, but you still get some interesting pieces of their thoughts and personalities.
Yeah. It's you know, staged candid.
Yeah, but that's what we get in 2019, and this is a good version of it.
Yeah. We probably really don't want candid, would be my guess. like fully candid with a lot of these guys.
I think that's true, and I think also I'm not sure it does any real good.
It certainly doesn't do them any real good.
People don't want candid from me. You know what I mean? I don't. Candid is mostly being an asshole, right?
Candid is Ricky Gervais, essentially.
Kind of. Like, human decency is worthwhile, even if it removes a sliver of the truth from things.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
I'm not really about, like, about conventional shows of respect or whatever. Yeah. Like, I think a lot of that stuff
quickly devolves into what's wrong with telling someone to get on your knees. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And for me, like, it's about intent for me. It's not about ceremony or performed decency, but yeah, let's respect each other.
Yeah. God, I thought you were going to say virtue signaling for a second, then I'm going to have to hang up on you.
Like, these people, the people who, oh, the virtue signaling media, social justice warrior, thank you. I would like to be virtuous and in favor of social justice. I don't get it.
Yes. Sorry for coming out of the side of virtue, you fucking asshole.
My bad. Oh, the thing I said signals to you that I have a virtuous perspective? Okay.
Yeah, only in 2019 could that become an insult to someone. Ugh. All right.
Oh, America.
Yeah, exactly. And on that painful note, let's get out of here.
Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.